we're just coasting along on 4CRB.
Well, a very good morning to you. We somehow appear to have lost Russ Walkington in the news, so we're not quite sure where that's gone, but apologies to you. This is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group, here with you again for The Law and You this morning, your opportunity to get free legal advice between now and 10 o'clock. All you need to do is get on that telephone as soon as you possibly can, and the number, of course, 5520888, that number again, 5520888. As we say every week for our listeners south of the Tweed River, you need to put 07 in front of the number, but otherwise, if you live in Tweed Heads and everywhere north, just call straight through 5520888. And while I think of it too, again, a sincere thanks to all of the listeners out there who either renewed their support of 4CRB or became new supporters of 4CRB during Radiothon last week. It was a successful week for the station, and of course it's critically important to the continued financial viability of the station that we do have a successful radiothon every year. So on behalf of the board and myself as chairman, I'd like to thank you all sincerely for supporting Radiothon as you did. And of course there was some there was a fairly major announcement too, with the announcement that we're going to be running the highlight section from Alan Jones' program. We, of course, already broadcast his comment 3 mornings a week, but from the 21st of May. Oh, is it 5 mornings a week? Oh, well, there you go. You learn something. I only listen 3 days a week. And, of course, from next week, we're going to be running that highlights, a one-hour program from 11 o'clock, the highlights of the Alan Jones program 5 days a week. So the comment will continue at about 8:35 or thereabouts, but the highlights will run each day from 11 o'clock. So that's great news, and we had unbelievable feedback from people who rang up and started supporting the station for the first time, saying we're so pleased that you're going to be running Alan Jones, that we've decided to become supporters, and that really boosted our numbers over the last couple of days after that announcement, of course, was made on the Friday. But enough of that. We're here for legal matters, not Radiothon, but again, a very sincere thanks to you for your support. You may remember that Anthony rang in last week with a query about his body corporate, where they've struck a levy to repaint. I think there are, from what I understood, there are two towers in the building, and it's going to cost $1 million to paint, and they've struck a special levy. Anthony is going to have to pay $6,000 towards that special levy, which obviously suggests that there was not sufficient money in the sinking fund of the body corporate to make that payment. And he just was querying whether the body corporate was able to do that. Now, subject, of course, to the body corporate following the appropriate procedures for the striking of a special levy, then yes, they certainly can do that. And the amount that you're obliged to contribute depends on the lot entitlement for your individual lot. Now, up prior to the introduction, I think it was of the new legislation in 1977, the Body Corporate and Community Management Act, the lot entitlements were simply one. So you had one lot entitlement, there was simply one schedule that had your entitlement. After that new legislation came in, there were then two types of entitlements. One was the lot entitlement schedule, which was relevant to your contributions and your interest, and there was also a decision that there should be an equality principle, so that the entitlements of units were not out of skew. Now, since April 2011, the body corporate or the owner, when they the original developer, when they strike the levies, if they use the equality principle, but the entitlements aren't equal, then they need to explain that they're not equal and why. And if they use what's called the relativity principle, they need to explain how that principle was applied. So since 2011, there is more accountability around unit entitlements, but with rare exceptions in my legal career, I've not often seen situations where the body corporate levies were completely out of kilter, but certainly there have been some buildings where, for example, a penthouse unit had a unit entitlement of one and the unit on the ground floor had an entitlement of one, which many would say is unjustified because, amongst other things, value, the value of those two units would be quite different. The other reason for introducing those changes too, of course, was because you now have mixed use schemes, so you can have a scheme where there's commercial on the ground floor or the first couple of floors and then residential above, and you may have commercial uses that use huge amounts of water and are far more hazardous than simple residential use, so that's part of the reason why. Now, sadly, I've prattled on there a little bit too long. We did have May on the phone who was waiting. So, May, if you're still listening, if you'd like to ring back, we'll certainly deal with your question. 55208888 is the number. The Law and You is the program. Your opportunity to get free legal advice here on 4CRB between now and 10 o'clock. And while we're waiting, the phones are presently free, so it's a very quiet morning this morning. We were expecting it to be quiet last week because of Radiothon, but surprisingly we had a large number of calls. Maybe everyone's worn out from Radiothon. But if you have a question or a query, get on that telephone right now. 55208888 is the number. And I was also looking at the issue of electronic conveyancing, which is gradually making its way into the system throughout Australia. It's been adopted in Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria, Western Australia and South Australia. You have to opt into the system in order to use it, and it presently doesn't cover all transactions. But I did notice a report that has come through. I think it was in one of the newsletters from the Queensland Law Society, advising that it will now be possible to do transmissions of property, so a transmission by death, using the electronic system. The system has been a little more difficult for Queensland in its implementation, particularly in relation to property transactions, because time is of the essence, as you know, in Queensland. So when a contract says settlement in 30 days, that's exactly what it means, whereas in many of the other jurisdictions, time is not of the essence, and you have to give notice when time expires before you can actually terminate the contract. So it is going to present a few more challenges. As I understand it, or the last report I read suggested there were only 400 subscribers in Queensland at that time, which is certainly not many out of the total number when you take into account banks, building societies, and law firms, etc. So it's not a huge number, and they do need to get through those issues before they'll be able to do it. There's not been a date mandated in Queensland yet to make the compulsory use of electronic conveyancing, and it can only be used if all parties to the transaction are registered. So there are a few issues that are yet to be ironed out in relation to that, but hopefully they'll get through it all, and we'll be able to see some progress in the not too distant future. But enough of that. We have a caller online. We'll say a very good morning to Jenny. G'day, Jerry. Sorry, Jerry. How are you, Jerry?
G'day, John. How are things?
Yeah, they're very well. What about you?
Yeah, I'm great, mate. Thanks.
Good on you. How can we help?
We've got a bit, got an awful echo here for some reason.
Oh, that's no good. You're sounding you're sounding fine at this end, Jerry, so I'm not exactly sure where the echo is, but that's technology for you.
Yeah.
You don't have your radio on, do you?
Well, it's on, but it's turned right down.
Okay, if you've got your radio turned down, then it should be okay. So let's do our best. Yeah. How can I help?
Okay. I'm ringing on behalf of a very good friend of mine. 12 or 18 months ago, she came home with a young Frenchman in tow, intending to, you know, remain as partners or get married. But since then, they've actually broken up, and he's been going to be sent back home. And she's going to have to sign an affidavit that they're still together and all still as it was, you know. And she can't bring herself to refuse to sign it.
Well, I think she needs to, Jerry, because she needs to realise that if she signs an affidavit, which is false, that's the same as giving false evidence in court, and that's the equivalent of perjury. And the penalties for perjury are quite severe, could possibly include imprisonment. So she really needs to reconsider her position in terms of doing that, and particularly with the immigration department. I think it would be most inadvisable to be signing a false affidavit.
Yeah, that's what I've been advising her. But is this actually a criminal offence? Would it be a criminal
record?
Well,
if you sign a false affidavit, then it's, as I say, it's the equivalent of perjuring yourself in court because it's under oath. So an affidavit is under oath. So it is extremely serious. It is a criminal offence. And yes, it certainly would mean that she would have a criminal record if she was convicted.
Yeah. It's pretty tough, poor girl. She still likes the boy, and anyway, she'll just have to sort it out, I guess. But
Well, it's very unfair of him to expect her to perjure herself. I mean, that's a bit beyond the pale.
I don't know that he's actually asked her. I think that she just knows that it's
needs to be done.
And I've said if she gets a criminal offence, she'll no longer be able to travel without problems.
Well, it's certainly probably not as bad as a drug offence or other offences, but nonetheless, no one wants, and I mean, look, there's no, of course, the perjury needs to be found out before there would be a prosecution. So it may be that, you know, she'd be lucky, but I could not possibly advise anyone to perjure themselves. You just wouldn't even entertain it as a prospect. There have been a few cases that I've read recently where people have signed false affidavits, and the courts take it very, very seriously. So, yes, it's not something that you would do.
I got one other query, Matt.
Sure.
Her brother was pulled up by the police and were given a full... He and his girlfriend were given a full strip search looking for drugs and so forth. Now, he did have a little problem with marijuana at one stage, and he queried the police, why are you doing this? And he said, well, with your history, we're checking you out. But what he was charged with, there was supposed to be no record.
Right.
Do the police actually have a record that's not part of your record, because they knew that he'd had this problem before?
Right, yes. Well, look, I'm not a specialist in criminal law, but I believe that the police do have access to a database which gives details of all appearances before the court and convictions, etc. So it would be a question of what the record was. The only definitive way to answer that would be I would need to take a look at what the legal requirements are in terms of I'd need to know what happened to her brother in terms of that matter, whether he was let off with a good behaviour bond or whether there was a conviction recorded.
There was no conviction recorded, right. And yet they knew about it.
Right. Okay. Well, leave that with me, and I'll make some inquiries on it, and I actually won't be here next week, but I'll have someone comment on it for you next week, Jerry.
All right, mate. Well, okay, then. I listen every week, so.
All right. Well, I'll make sure we deal with it.
Okay, John. Thanks.
All the best. Cheers now. And the time on 4CRB is just past 15 minutes to 10. The Law on You is the program, 5520888, the number, and we say a very good morning to Alan. G'day, Alan. How are you?
Good, thanks, John. How's yourself?
Very well indeed. Thanks. How can we help?
Good. Just a bit of advice, please.
Sure.
We have a property in New South Wales, which we put on the market recently, and we just did it locally. We had a couple that came and did an inspection shortly after we advertised it.
Mm-hmm. So you advertised it privately, did you?
Yes, we did. And we said to the people, well, they said to us they were interested in buying it, but they needed a bit more time, et cetera, et cetera. And I said, well, because of short-term leases and things, it's a commercial property.
Right.
And I thought, well, if they take sort of 6 months to 12 months, I was quite happy. We were quite happy to keep the property and if they wanted it in that time. But I was a bit worried about the time that would have been eaten into the leases that had just been signed. And we'll put it with an agency, which we did. And they had exclusive rights up until next month. And I'm just wondering, and nothing that the agency didn't do any. They were going to do an online auction, but that didn't happen. So anyway, so we've virtually hardly heard anything from them since the date the auction was due to happen. And we're a bit inclined to think these people will come back to us at some stage to buy it.
Right.
And we will advise the agency at the end of the exclusivity period that we want to take it off the market or whatever we've got to do.
Yep.
It's country New South Wales, so it's not Queensland. And I'm just wondering whether they can come back to if one of the people that were interested through the negotiation with their advertising, if that person, that local person, comes back to us and says, "Oh, we want to buy it after the period's finished," are we liable for the?
Well, for any
commission.
So, as I understand what you're saying, these original people, the couple who inspected, came on your private advertising of the property, so they didn't come
through the
agent. Okay.
Yes.
And as far as you know,
that was Sorry, John, that was before we contacted any agency.
Yeah, okay. So, when you listed it, I'm just not completely familiar with the listing forms in New South Wales, but in Queensland you can put in there the fact that certain people have already inspected the property, and so if they come back and buy, they're not covered by the agreement. Did you put that into the agreement?
No, we didn't, and we didn't know about it.
Right, okay. Okay, so as long as the people came to the property before the exclusive agency and then they come back after the exclusive agency is finished and you can prove that they, in fact, did come prior to the exclusive agency, then you shouldn't have a problem.
Yeah.
That's subject to what the terms and conditions of the form of exclusive agency in New South Wales say. So it might be advisable to speak to your solicitor about it at the if and when the people come back.
I can quickly read to you the paragraph, which wouldn't take long, what it says on the New South Wales document.
Right, okay.
Would only... Yeah, go on.
All
okay.
Right. You really need to see the whole document. Rather than a clause in isolation, Alan, it really does need to look at it in its totality. So what I would say to you is this, that if How long before your exclusive agency runs out?
About another 2 weeks,
okay.
3 weeks.
All right, so in 2 or 3 weeks' time, you still haven't had any contact from these people in this since they originally came?
No.
Right, okay, so if after that's over and they do come back, what I would suggest you do, because you've got to get a soft copy contract done, so you would need your lawyer to do that, and I would suggest that you just go through it with your lawyer at the time, show them the exclusive agency agreement, because historically nothing is going to change. There's nothing you can do to change what's historically happened. So
Right. It's
either court or it's not. But from what you're saying to me, I doubt that it is, because if they're introduced, if the agent is not the cause of their introduction to the property, and they were introduced to the property prior. So unless there's some term in the agreement that says, something to the effect of, anyone introduced to the property, whether before or after the commencement of the exclusive agency is caught, then I think that you'll be okay. But get your lawyer to check it at the time when they do up the contract for you.
Fine.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, Alan.
Thanks very much, John.
All the very best.
Yeah, and you too.
And the time on 4CRB is just past 9 minutes to 10. The Law and You is the program, 5520888, the number, and we say a very good morning to Bernadette. Good morning, Bernadette. How are you? Bernadette, are you there?
Hello. Yes, I am.
Yes, how are you today?
Very well, thank you.
That's good. How can we help?
Look, I was wondering if it is legal to rent or sell a premises with asbestos in it and no running water as such. In other words, no hand basin. And is it legal for real estate agents not to give receipts for rent?
So the first part of your question is it legal to rent or sell a property that's made from asbestos or has asbestos in it, and with no running water. So, is it residential or is it
commercial
property? Yeah. Okay.
And after we went in, we realised there was asbestos in there, and of course, no running water.
Right. Okay. Well, so you've bought the property, and
no. Renting.
Oh, you're renting the property. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, all I could suggest that you do, it's certainly not illegal to sell property with asbestos in it, because normally in the, I think from memory, in the form of contract, there is provision to disclose whether a property has asbestos in it, and that would certainly be picked up in the course of a building inspection. So was there a basin or a tap in the property, but it's not working? Is that the situation?
There's no basin, no. And pipe, I suppose you would call it, only lets water out of it sideways. So,
Right. Okay. So is there water there? Do you know, or when you turn the, is there a tap or what?
There's water, but it's not connected up properly. It's like coming out of a pipe sideways,
right.
If you know it.
Yeah, I think I understand what you're saying. Yep. So, well, look, if it's a commercial property, I suspect that there's no problem in renting the property. If the asbestos is exposed or dangerous, that might be a different situation. Have you actually signed up a tenancy agreement for the property, or what's the basis of the rental?
Have a lease.
So is it
asbestos, and I'm coughing from it, and so is everyone else, and it is exposed and sort of like peeling.
Right. Well, if it's exposed, then it's certainly a major hazard, and you certainly shouldn't be there. Whereabouts is the property? In which area? Is it in Tweed Shire or Gold Coast City Council? Where?
Tweed Tweedshire.
All right. Well, look, I think you need to go and see your solicitor to get them to take a look at the rental agreement or the lease that you've signed. That's the first thing, to see whether there's any provision in there about asbestos. But notwithstanding that, normally in most leases there is a clause which says that the lessor or the landlord warrants the property is reasonably fit for the purpose for which it's been rented, or that it's in good repair. Now, if the council were to issue an order in relation to the property that it's not fit, then that very well may be grounds for you to terminate the lease. At the very least, it may be reason for you to for there to be a moratorium in relation to the rental. So quite honestly, Bernadette, I think what you really need to do is take your lease agreement to your solicitor, or if you don't have a solicitor, perhaps ring the New South Wales Law Society to get a recommendation to a lawyer near you who does a lot of work in the area of leasing, so they can go through that with you, because obviously, if the asbestos is exposed and is causing dust of any description or particles, then that's a major concern. Do you have the number? Do you want me to give you the number for the New South Wales Law Society?
Yes, please. That would be very good of you.
Okay, so the number is 9926 0333.
Yes.
And of course, the area code is 02. So if you ring the New South Wales Law Society and ask them for a recommendation for a lawyer in your locality or in the nearest town to you that deals in property matters, and as I say, I would be taking the lease agreement in to them, explaining what's happened, and because it sounds to me as if you'll probably be able to get out of the lease. The question then will be whether you're entitled to any compensation because of the premises being let without disclosure. Coming back to the question of rental, when you pay rental to a real estate agent, they should always issue you with a receipt in relation to it, because by law, a real estate agent is obliged to pay the rent into their trust account. So if you're paying the rent to XYZ, Petty Wilde D real estate agents as rental, then that money should be being paid into their trust account, and under the trust account law in New South Wales, they're obliged to issue you with a receipt for the money.
Right, and would that be Queensland also?
Yes, Queensland or New South Wales, there should be a receipt issued if you're paying rent.
In Queensland, yes.
Yep. No, so they definitely should be giving you a receipt for the rental that you've been paying.
Okay, well, thank you very much. It's fairly difficult when you're a woman to do these things.
Yeah, whereabouts, which part of the Gold Coast, are you living on the Gold Coast?
No,
Down in Tweed. Okay, yes. Well, look, because I was going to say, if you live up this end of the coast, or if you can get up here, one other possibility might be to take the documents into the Robina Community Legal Centre, which is at in the Gold Coast City Council building near the Robina Town Centre, the Robina Shopping Centre, and they may be able to just give you a bit of general advice in relation to the documentation. They're open from 6:30 until 8:30 on a Thursday, but you really do need someone to go through the documentation that you have to give.
Is that PM, is it? Oh, morning.
No, no, in the evening. 6:30 until 8:30 each Thursday evening. So 6:30 to 8:30 PM on Thursday evenings at the Gold Coast City Council Robina Community Centre. All right then. All the
Thank
best.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Bye
now. Bye. Well, this is John Fradgley from the Bell Legal Group. It's been great to have your company today. Thank you to the people who've called in to make for an interesting program. Certainly some varied calls there this morning, that's for sure. So thank you to those who rang in. What we missed out in quantity, we made up for in quality. So thank you for that. Until we meet again, as always, goodbye and God bless.